This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Bruce. Praise the Lord. I feel really glad that I'm able to come here today. Honestly, I'm so blessed that I'm able to be with you and check up on a little bit on Beth for a brief moment just now. And it's a season where I don't know what's going on. After David, I just came back from another funeral with one of my pastors who passed away at age 56. So last 12 months, four Christian ministers, four people had gone to be with the Lord. And they're all younger than me. And I just thought, the devil may be trying to do something. But the title of my message this morning is two words: still ahead. Amen. How many believe that we're still ahead? Amen. Amen. We don't know everything, and I like those scriptures that Karen read just now. Where's Karen? She's gone. Oh, okay. Okay, and Colossians, Christ is supreme. But we have to negotiate our faith and our mind through some of these things to still keep our eyes on the supremacy of Christ and the bigness of God that sometimes we do not yet fully understand. David had a vision. He had a vision for revival. There is no nothing can diminish that flame that is inside him. And maybe, you know, it's like so passionate that sometimes people might not fully understand what he's talking about. Nevertheless, I believe that he had a tremendous sense of the vision of Christ in his heart. And I just believe that this is somewhere along the line, this is actually part of the DNA of this church. And I was listening carefully to all the prophetic words just now, and about three or four of you used the word tenacious, including from Beth, then that's wonderful. Praise God. And I'm going to talk about robust faith a little bit because we are still ahead. And we'll be using a biblical picture of it. And I'm fully aware that while the vision is here, reality is actually still there. And so there is a journey, and in between there are gaps we need to fill. And of course, the enemy would try to infiltrate and sabotage, and most of the time he does that, meddling with our inner worlds of emotions, our minds. Some people say our minds is the devil's playground. We can hear those kind of phrases, but we don't want to buy them, because we want our minds to be sanctified and renewed. How many say amen? And so we don't let our minds and our emotions just keep carrying on in terms of pulling us down. But we would like this morning in my opening remarks, while I feel confused a little bit with the four people who had passed on, and that's David is one of them. David was the third one, and one of my pastors is actually the fourth one. And I just came back from the funeral last week from Malaysia. So it's been, and of course months before it was like praying and walking through with that, and had visited that area there. It's actually on the island of Borneo, so I had to fly over from Kuala Lumpur, and had been, so it's just kind of like soon after David's funeral memorial service that I attended, I was on to the next journey with this particular pastor. And I got no problem surrendering it to the Lord. How many know that we need to do that? I have no problem surrendering things to the Lord. But I still feel that the Lord doesn't want us to stay discouraged. The least is to stay defeated. We are not defeated. I know you are not defeated. I know Bev is not defeated by her confession, by her expression, and so on. And if there's anything that we want to prophesy to ourselves, we got to keep on telling ourselves that all is going to be okay. It may not feel like it sometimes, but God's vision will never die. God's desire for His people and the wellness of His people, and also the town, the society that we have, and the nation that we have, that passion for our nation will not diminish. And so I do have three things that I want to talk about. For whatever that we have experienced, where things are at the moment, we have to cast our eyes a little further and realize that there's a big picture of things to be. Things are not going to be static. There's always a bigger picture of things to be. And that picture is a good picture. That picture, of course, includes the ultimate victory of the world in Christ, where Jesus Christ comes back to His bride. And the church is a radiant bride. And for us who are still here, we are still work in progress to be made glorious, to be made radiant. And your life and your family is to be made glorious. There's glory upon you. There's glory on your face. There's glory. If you don't believe me, look into the mirror and see a measure of glory there. Look at each other and see a bit of glory there. And it's a glorious church in the making. And the only thing, of course, is the idea of tenacity. Another word for it is endurance. I just introduced another word, robust. And it's the idea this morning that I want to encourage this church is to keep our faith ahead of the devil, to keep our trust and our belief ahead of what the enemy had tried to do. We are still here, and I think David wants us to keep ahead. David wants us to push on and to continue where he has left. He had a great vision and passion for revival. He gave me a book on the Azusa Street and was telling me, you know what, there's nothing else that matters to him. He doesn't care about anything else, really. That's the most important thing. And, So, our faith must amount to being kept ahead of the enemy. Our faith has to be a consistent faith, a faith that persists, a faith that endures. And I just like us to turn to a passage of Scripture here. And it's in Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. It's just one verse of the scripture, and I'll compare it with another one in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read from a few versions of the Bible to illustrate to you that translators had sometimes make us quite confused regarding this particular verse. Matthew chapter 17, 20. Now, you would be familiar with NIV, or NLT, and I'll read them first, okay? Maybe just backtrack a little bit in Matthew 17 to tell you the story behind it. It was a story about a father who was very desperate for his son to be delivered. And the son had been tormented by the devil, and Jesus, Matthew 17, Jesus and his Peter, James, and John had been with him up in Mount Transfiguration. And they had a wonderful time with a great glory and seeing the vision of Moses and Elijah. Remember that story? But down there, below the mountain, was this man who was desperate. And of course, Jesus wasn't there. So he approached the disciples to heal his son, to deliver his son. But they couldn't do it. And later on, of course, Jesus came down and he approached Jesus and said, "Your disciples couldn't deliver my son. Would you do it?" And that's when Jesus said that, yeah, he would. And he did. And just healed the boy. And then the disciples were rather curious. So in private, they had a tutorial and asked Jesus, "How come we couldn't do it?" And Jesus said to them, Jesus replied in NIV, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." The NLT says, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Okay, how do I understand this? They don't have enough faith. Their faith was little and small. But then Jesus was affirming, apparently, smallness by saying that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Are you able to understand that? I can't. I can't figure that out. That means the disciples' faith must be even smaller than the small. That's miserable. Yeah? Not until this curiosity led me to reread some of the other versions, the older versions, the King James, or the modern King James, just to keep up to date a little bit. And this is what Jesus said to them. "Because of your unbelief." He said, why couldn't we deliver? Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed," like a grain of mustard seed, not small as mustard seed. Do you see the difference? "Like a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you." The Message Bible, which is even more contemporary, Jesus' reply was, "Because you're not yet taking God seriously," said Jesus. "The simple truth is that if you have a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, 'Move,' and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle." I went to check out on this thing called a mustard seed. And in between time, I heard this person, I can't even tell the name, I can't even give you the link, or the what is on the YouTube. I just, you know how sometimes when you're listening to sermons, other sermons popped in and you just clicked, and then you just, this guy, apparently he approaches the scriptures with a Hebrew kind of mindset, and and he had said that this idea of small as a mustard seed is a misrepresentation of the description that Jesus had wanted to convey in the Hebrew mind. Because Jesus was talking about faith that can move mountain. All right? And of course, some translators have actually translated it to look at the size of the mustard seed. But There are other translators, like I just read, the inconsistency shows me that there are two types of translators. The other category of translators actually did not look at the size of the mustard seed, because when it does describe the size of it, it's confusing. He wants people to have great faith, but yet at the same time, he is applauding small seed, faith like a small thing. It doesn't jive. And so this guy was saying that, you know, the way to understand it is to understand that it's not the size, it's the character or characteristic of the mustard seed. And he said a bunch of things, but I couldn't really understand what he was saying. But I picked up that word, endurance. It's faith that endures that will move mountains. There's a bit of sense in that. And in the Chinese language, I'm not Chinese educated, but I hear a lot of these, and my father was quite well educated. And I remember them talking about a proverb of how this man, a little bit like Noah, you know, was very foolish in the eyes of the people of his time. He used a little hammer and chisel and was trying to move a mountain. And he said, this foolish man actually moved a mountain with a chisel in his hand. Well, because he was in some ways fitting into what this Jewish guy was describing, having an enduring faith. Okay, well, that's one part of it. And then I went to Google. Now, everything you don't know, you check with Mr. Google. And so I Google on characteristic of a mustard seed. And they have some descriptions of it. And, well, it is... the whole thing fits into this idea of focusing on the characteristic of a mustard seed rather than the size of it to describe your faith. Describe your faith in the character of the mustard seed. So I heard another guy who was sharing about this scripture as well, and he lived in a country where they were growing mustard. So, and sometimes the some mustard seed would have somehow gotten into his backyard, and I think he's got a fair bit of land, and some parts of it are probably not very well cultivated, or some parts of it could be cultivated. But wherever mustard seeds land, very slowly but surely, they will take over. They will grow. No matter how harsh. You see, he's got a comparison of a cultivated plot and a comparison of an uncultivated plot. The uncultivated plot was actually very rough and very, you know, full of thistles and thorns perhaps. Mustard seed would survive and still grow because it's a robust seed. And I think this morning, I think the word of the Lord for us is to have a robust faith. A tenacious faith, not to be given to whatever that we are going through negatively, that is negative, too easily, so that we will keep ahead, still ahead of the devil. Because the enemy would try to kill, try to steal, and try to destroy. But God says our faith is like a mustard seed. There's a difference between like a mustard seed versus as small as a mustard seed. And I like to adopt the latter, sorry, the former, the robust seed, and to have a sense that, Lord, you know, however it is, wherever it is, wherever we are, you know, in terms of our position, however things are, persistence will win. Well, of course, the Bible has other parables, other stories about how a persistent woman who was actually wanting to reach out to the judge to get a fair deal, and he wouldn't give up. Finally, the judge gave up and acceded to her request and actually answered her desires. And I I believe that it is something that the Lord wants us to do, and wants us to be persistent in our faith. It's not an easy thing. That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need to encourage one another all the time. That's why we need to be hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing from everywhere. Just to confirm this fact about the looking at the character of the mustard seed versus the size of the mustard seed, I would have actually heard from about 3-4 sources before I speak it out today. And I just felt that, you know, we have a journey, we have a vision, and we have a reality, and we have a journey in between. And to be able to last this journey, I think tenacity, endurance, persistence is the call of the day. And the way it was is like, I think I need to work my endurance, my persistence, and my tenacity with my first factor. There are 3 factors that I want to share with you this morning. The first factor, which starts with F, is to face, keep my face on the faithful God. Numbers chapter 6, the Bible says, the Lord bless you, the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. So the Lord's face is now turned to us. Amen. His face is turned to you. I better make sure that my face is turned to Him. Because while His face is turned to me, it's a possibility. There is a possibility that sometimes my face is turned away. Turn away in my discouragement. Turn away in my disappointment. Turned away with my whatever, I don't know, many things in my mind. But I feel the Lord is actually wanting to cause this very powerful truth of turning our face back to God, because His face is turned to us. And you know what? This is nothing less than something that is very vital in an end time church, even in the context of the family. One of the scriptures that had been speaking to me very loudly and very strongly in my heart is Malachi 4:6, when he says that Malachi was saying that fathers to turn their hearts to the children, and then children turn their hearts to the father. I like to think that it's the father first, and then the children will respond. This turning thing, you know, it's a very important, but yet I think a very powerful thing. How to do it? I can't tell you. There's no formula. But it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of positioning my mind. Just don't know how to face? Face anyway. Don't know how to turn? Turn anyway. How do you do it? Well, figure out. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen? So my first F is face the faithfulness of the Father God. Keep our face turned to the Father God. And when we do that, we have just got to trust that the Lord's face that is upon us will give us favor. Amen? If we start with our heart turned towards God, God's heart's already turned to us. You know, one of the things about our Christianity and our Christian confession is somehow like always in the future. It's always future tense. When actually, we should greater focus on what's already done. We're getting that message more and more these days now. We've got to understand what Christ has already accomplished, what Christ has already done on the cross, what He had already achieved for us. But we somehow always pray and always speak with a future kind of mentality that He will do this, He will do that. In fact, sometimes we might even prophesy it this way, that He will do this if you do that, and so on. But actually, He's already done it. He had used past tense on different occasions. By His stripes, you were healed. But you see, I told you there's a vision, but there's another. The other side is reality. This part here is quite troublesome. We have been used to a religiosity, a religious mindset, that we have to earn something. And this morning, Karen was talking about this, and I think Pat said the same thing too. It's not; it's by grace. And she said that, you know, you got to, you're born again also by grace. Nothing that we know all that, but somehow I don't know why it keeps slipping out of my mouth. I don't know whether it slips out of your mouth, yours or not. That is always looking to a future God. Are you with me, or am I just alone in this? And I just feel that we've got to change our way of speaking, our way of confessing, our way of talking, our way of praying, even our way of prophesying. Because faith might require us to actually proclaim a present God and a God who has already done certain things. And then when we would cooperate with Him, with the confession of our lips, believing it in our heart, perhaps greater momentum in this journey can be forged. And so, facing God, it's an important thing. The second F is really facing what He has done in the past already. This morning, Beth says she can't just let things kind of like continually erode her in her feelings, because she cannot deny what she has to be grateful for, things that God has done in the past, something like that. And this is true. 4 people died in my circle last 12 months. Did not the church pray? The church prayed. I prayed. I commanded. I spoke life. I this and that and everything else. And they still left. But then I think back. There was this young boy, Eldo. Serious accident. And brain damaged. But when they were taught to keep speaking life to this young man, little Eldo came back to life. And today he's well. And the mother wrote a book about it. You probably can find it. This is not an Australian story, and it's not a Malaysian story. It's an African story. And learning how to speak life. I would think to myself, haven't I done that? I did. I did with the one over the phone. My wife and I were organized by people to pray over the phone, because that pastor who was dying at that stage was actually in Japan. And we called up at an appointed time, and we spoke, and I spoke and spoke life strongly. He was actually on the deathbed. And what they call, he was saying that actually I was on a death sentence. One of the 5 beds there waiting, and 1 or 2 were already gone. He was on the line in that part of the hospital. And when the arrangement was made, they pushed him through to another corridor and went to another room so that the prayer wouldn't disturb the rest of the hospital. And so after we prayed, after immediately we had proclaimed life and spoke life into him, he stood up. He was not supposed to stand up. He's not supposed to have the strength enough to even sit up. But he stood up. And that was a Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Friday night, he went back to attend the church prayer meeting, and people were shocked. After that, he was traveling in different parts of Japan and preaching the gospel. But months later, he still passed away. But I must still make sure that we are grateful to God for that little bit. Yeah? Eldo is a complete healing. Wonderful. My friend Rob, it was healing to whatever degree. and he still didn't make it. But I had another incident here, which is in my church. Later on, because I spoke destiny into this child, when I arrived back to Kuala Lumpur that particular year, he was already in hospital and in a coma. And the doctors had told the parents to prepare for the worst. And while they were preparing the parents mentally, I didn't know all this. I'm glad they didn't tell me all that. Praise God. Not knowing too many things is better, because I didn't know that you're supposed to be prepared for the worst. Because if that's told to me, my prayer could have been for the worst, or could have been just, you know, not much. I went with that sense of, let's speak life to this 12-year-old boy. And we spoke, and the family spoke, and then I spoke destiny, and I gave him the name Samuel, because he's going to be a kingmaker, because he's going to have a destiny, and this and that. And they actually adopted his name, this name Samuel, and today he's called Sam. And Sam had progressed and actually was, from not being able to move, was able to walk, take a few steps to go into the toilet in the room and this and that. And today he's walking upright and he's doing well, praise the Lord. And I just told myself, I've got to think of those past victories, past successes that God has established, when I'm still praying for things that is to come. But maybe I shouldn't keep on saying things to come. I should say, thank you, Lord, that you have done it. You have done it. Okay. I got no idea as to how the Lord is going to do things. I've got no idea, and I don't understand why these ones left. He only knows the full picture, and he knows everything and what's best. But God, I think we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He still knows what he's doing, and we are just mere human beings, mere earthlings. But the most important thing, of course, is that by the end of the day, we can have the mixture of discouragement and yet trying to encourage ourselves. Okay, by the end of the day, eternity actually is more important than temporal. The eternal is more important than the temporal. And by the end of the day, all of us are going to be with him. Some of us have gone, some of our people, our cohorts have gone a bit earlier. That's it. That's all. And in the time, in terms of eternity, that earlier, maybe it's not much. Maybe it's not much, you know. It's just like somebody was saying that if you pull a string, like you attach one end of the string from that end right through to the other end, and you take a little bit of a piece of paper, just a little one, just like the size of the biscuit that we had, and stick it on any part of the string, that's you, that's me. Eternity is that long, and we are making a big deal out of this little thing. Actually, there's not much there. It's only a little bit. And it's okay. Hallelujah. We are going to see great victory. There's a big picture. And God knows what he's doing, because God owns that whole string from beginning to the end. Face the face of God. Face the faithfulness of God. And along with the faithfulness of God, actually, is his word. By the end of the day, the third F is, we need to know that the word is faithful, God is faithful, because the word is faithful because God is faithful. But we need regularly, amidst all that we are going through, seek the Lord for a fresh revelation. That's the third F. Let's have a fresh revelation of God's word. We need that. however he's going to give it to us. This morning, it was through some prophetic words, which I believe that actually had confirmed my title. My title is Robust Faith, or my message is Robust Faith. And not spoken out in a triumphalist kind of mentality, thinking that, you know, we will never lose. Not true. But no matter what we go through, we can have a robust faith, and we will still be able to still keep ourselves ahead of the devil. And and it's not necessarily that the devil is the one who took away the lives of all these four people. Life and death is in the hand of God. I think he knows better. I'm going to end on the last bit, maybe suspecting what is the last thing that maybe we want to do as a conclusion besides these three F's. This third F is revelation of God's word. Now, whether we have Rima or no Rima, this is quoting from my wife, whether we think of it as a Rima or a Logos, actually, the Word of God is what it is. It should be good enough for us. So we don't need really all the time to have like a thunder and lightning and whatever, you, that the Word must come this way. No. Don't demand that. Not necessary. Even if there is no Rima, I think we still need to abide by God's word. Amen? So that was what my wife, I'm quoting her to her contribution to you this morning. Well, I thought it's true when she said that. Actually, it's true. But yet again, we can't deny, both of us, are able to dish out and encourage people, and she does it with ladies, and she has a bunch of ladies, and sometimes she does it in camps and does it in private groups and so on. What was really able to cause this dynamic to be alive? It's a fresh revelation every now and again, and I'm sure you have them too. All of you would have some kind of a fresh revelation of God's word, not discounting the Logos, but a fresh revelation of God's word gives life to us. And as it does, then it will add to the need, our need for a robust faith. Robust faith requires us to turn our face to God, whose face is already turned to us, and also has us to actually turn our face to the past successes and the faithfulness of God. But the third F is to have a consistent journey with the Lord's word, with God's word, that every now and again, while we are determined in our minds to walk the word as we read it, as we have read it, then when fresh revelation comes, it gives us a boost, and we push a little bit further and keep our faith a little stronger, a little bit more robust, a little bit more tenacious, a little bit more enduring, and releasing us into a next hike of our faith to climb a little higher. And that's how I feel that this thing is like. And the other part of the mustard seed, I must say this, that when we do these three F's, then now the size of the mustard seed thing actually applies. Because in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 32, Jesus was giving a kingdom parable of the mustard seed. And that mustard seed was a small seed that had the potential of growing into a very large tree that birds would come and actually seek shelter, land on it. And so what I'm saying is, we got a hope. We have a hope. If we keep on keeping on, if we keep on staying still ahead of the enemy with a robust faith, with a face turned towards God, with our face consistently looking at past victories in Christ, goodness of God, faithfulness of the Father, fresh revelation of God's word, the potential of these things means there will be greatness ahead of us. Hallelujah. And you are destined for greatness, not just for a small thing. although everything starts small. Everything does start small. And you look at the string. Think of the picture of this long string again. And you're just only a little tag in between. May look so small, but there's vibration coming out of it just because you're there. And your impact and your potential is great. Hallelujah. So my conclusion is, with all these three F's that I'm thinking about, my conclusion is still another F. Few more souls, Lord. Because David's idea is revival. What does it really amount to by the end of the day? A few more souls, Lord. Amen. Say together with me, few more souls, Lord. Amen. This morning, we prayed for a couple of people. Keep at it. Speak to that mountain. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the hearts of these ones. They might not even know it, but you're shifting for them. Hallelujah. Amen. I trust that this morning, I just bring a simple message that will encourage you. And I believe the Lord is into this particular call of being tenacious into a robust faith that will keep on keeping on so that we are still ahead of the devil. Amen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for this church. Lord, I know you love this church. And I know, Father God, they have such a love for you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have placed in the hearts of different ones a depth of your word, a depth of knowing you. I want to honor that. And I just pray that, Father God, that you will release the different ones into the potential, the mustard seed potential that brings out a great tree, a great covering for others, a great fruitfulness that will come out from a tree that will be released from these lives here. Many sitting here are people of great potential, and they have that sense of vision as well. I pray, Father God, that by the Holy Spirit, you will release them into realities of a few more souls, a few more saved, added into the kingdom of God, added into the church, a few more disciples to the glory of God. And let this church be built as a glorious church to the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.